Okay, let me pray, and then we'll look at Matthew chapter 10. Praise your name, God, and thank you that you're here. We give you blessing, we give you honor, we give you glory. There is no other God. There is no one else who deserves such glory as you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your precious word. It's holy. And you have given it to us for life and godliness. And I pray you use it today in our hearts. And that you would open our hearts to Christ more and more, to your Spirit more and more, and that you fill us with that Spirit and make us more and more in the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, do this work today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Matthew 10. I'm going to kind of review. So just big picture. You remember, as we've been preaching through Matthew, in chapters 5, 6, and 7, we get the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. And it then says at the end of the chapter 7 that the crowds were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes and Pharisees. And then chapters 8 and 9, we get this whole series. It's almost like boom, 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 one right after another. Jesus is healing people. He's casting out demons. He's healing the blind. He's healing Peter's mother-in-law. He's taking the Roman centurion's servant who was paralyzed and making him walk. He doesn't even go there. He just says the word. And it's a whole section on the authority of Jesus. In fact, the Roman centurion says, I too am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, do this, and to that one, do that. And he does it. And then Jesus heals the man in Matthew chapter 9, the paralyzed man. They let him down through the roof, that story. You remember that story? And Jesus says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he then said to the man, rise and walk. And he rose and walked. And so this whole section is a section on Jesus' authority. Not his teaching, but his deeds. So Matthew 5 and 7, we get him, he teaches with authority, and everybody's astonished. Chapters 8 and 9, we see Jesus acting with authority. And then in chapter 10, it says this. It says, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over every unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And so what we just saw Jesus do in chapters 5 through 9 with the authority that Matthew is emphasizing the authority of Christ in those chapters, we then see Jesus take that authority and give it. He delegates it to his disciples. And he basically says to them, now you go do what I just did. And so if you remember in Matthew 4, at the end of Matthew 4, it says, Jesus went through all the cities and villages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And then we get into this big section, chapters 5 through 7, Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Chapters 8 and 9, Jesus is healing every disease and every affliction. And then you go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and you see the exact same thing. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. It's like bookends around the whole section in Matthew there. And then he's saying to his disciples, you go do this. When you look at verse 1, it's the same thing as what you see in Matthew 9:35. They're going to heal every disease and every affliction. And last week we've actually kind of gotten down into this section where he's sending out his disciples. But in chapter verse 7, he's telling them, proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So the disciples are to do what Jesus was doing. Okay. And so this is where we are. That's all review. So let me ask you a question. Let's say you're at college, you're studying for a degree, and you ever get distracted from your studies? Yeah, you're nodding. You remember that. All kinds of stuff happens, doesn't it? And you're supposed to be, there's a test tomorrow. You're supposed to be studying for the test. But in my dorm, we were playing Pinochle. That was my distraction. Or you're an athlete. You're training for the Olympic Games. Do you sometimes get distracted from your training? You have a job to do, but then other stuff happens in life, right? And you get off the training regimen to do whatever it is. Or you're a businessman. You're working a plan to grow a business. You ever get distracted from your plan? See, life sometimes distracts us from what we need to do. That's how life is. It's actually kind of normal. Okay. So, Matthew 10. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 15 again. This will be the third week we're on this section. And so, it says, he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Okay, so as we've been kind of teaching in this section, verses 1 through 15, we've been dealing with different principles for ministry. This is ministry. Jesus is sending, this is actually training. Jesus is sending his disciples out for ministry. He's training them in ministry. That's what he's doing. And so he's giving them different principles concerning what to do, what not to do, and so on as they go out. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about your authority. That's verse 1. Jesus gave them authority. And we need to understand the authority we have in Christ and use it. Last week, we looked at verses 5 through 8, where Jesus says, don't go here. Do go here. And we talked about focus. That's a focus. Jesus is giving his disciples a ministry focus. Don't minister. He's saying, your ministry focus is the Jews, not the Gentiles, not the Samaritans. And so we talked about that, about God calling you to particular people and how that looks. And we then talked about verses 7 and 8. That's also focus. That's not who, but what. What are you to do? So he's basically saying, go to these people and do this in verses 5 through 8. And so we talked about that. And verses 7 and 8 are the main task. Proclaim the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. and heal, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and so on. So we talked about that last week. Okay, today all we're going to do is kind of walk through this. So we're going to start in verse 9 and move on. And so we're going to look at two other principles dealing with ministry today. So, verse 9. I'm going to put it this way. Beware of money and stuff. I guess that's the simplest way to put it. He says, acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts. That's money. And then he says, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff. That's stuff. Money and stuff can be a distraction to God's work. We talked about focus last week. But this also is a focus issue because money and material possessions can steal your focus. They can be the focus. And you all know what I'm talking about because you've wrestled with it. I mean, it's a struggle at times. I've seen Christians so concerned about money or their job or their material future that they couldn't do anything for God because they were too busy worried about this other stuff. And sometimes we get it backwards. The purpose of ministry, this is all about ministry here. Jesus is sending these guys out for ministry. The purpose of ministry isn't to make money. It's the other way around. The purpose of making money is for ministry. It's to free you to serve God. That's the whole point of making. God knows that you need this stuff. That's Matthew 6, right? Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. And for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Will he not provide for you? Money is never the goal. And that's the problem when people make it the goal. In fact, I think Jesus is really saying, on one level, money shouldn't even be a concern. They're not to be concerned about it. As he's sending them out, don't acquire any of it. He's kind of saying, don't really worry about it. See, Jesus is sending his disciples out with a job, and he wants them focused on the job that he's sending them out to do. That job is to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring healing and restoration to the Jewish people. And when they start worrying about, oh man, I need some more money in my belt, they're going to get distracted from that job. Or if they start worrying about, man, my sandals, or I need some more sandals, or I need another tunic, this one's torn, or whatever, they're not focused on their job. They're focused on something else. And so, and to bring that up to date, sometimes today, I mean, we're not worried about sandals and tunics. And so, but sometimes people today are crippled in ministry because we want a new car or a new job or those designer clothes that I don't have, that I wish I had. Guys, Jesus is calling his disciples to serve him. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, for you will love the one and hate the other, or you will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and money, Jesus said. He's calling us to serve him. So if we're going to serve God, there's a sense in which we have to let go of money. This is really, I believe, a principle of effective ministry. People who focus on getting money and stuff have a difficult time focusing on the kingdom of God because their focus is in the wrong place. So then, okay, you hear me say all this stuff, and what are we to do then? I mean, we got to eat, right? We do. You still need a place to live and some food, and, you know, you have needs. And Scripture does talk about caring for your family, right? working to earn money. It talks that way in Scripture. You know, Paul works actually while he does ministry. He's a tent maker. And so he has a job while he's doing ministry. Paul says to the Thessalonians that they should do their work quietly and earn their own living. God knows we need this stuff. And so when I say this, I'm not saying, you know, quit your job. I think he's saying, acquire no money or stuff. But then he says in verse 10, the laborer deserves his food. In other words, Jesus is acknowledging the need that they have. He's saying, don't acquire all of this stuff, but the laborer deserves his food. He's sending them out as laborers, right? That word laborer is the same word that's used in chapter 9 when he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest. The laborer, 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 and then here it's laborer again. It's the same word, and I don't think that's coincidental. And so, really, I think what God's saying is, I know you have to eat. I'll take care of you. Trust me. Go out, proclaim the kingdom of God, bring healing to people, and then this is the second principle for ministry from these verses. Trust God. I mean, I want you to look what Jesus is telling these guys to do, and tell me if you were in that situation, would you have to trust God? He says, go to the villages in Galilee. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Go to the Jews. He's saying, proclaim the kingdom. He's saying, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. He's saying, take no money or stuff. They have no designated place to stay. They have no designated place to get food from. He's just saying, go. Okay, put yourself in that situation. You have to trust God, don't you? This whole situation is a trust God situation. And here's the deal. When you trust God, you're focused on God. And when you're focused on God, you can begin to do his will because he's the focus. I knew an organization that actually trained missionaries by doing what this says right here in chapter 10. What they did to train them is they sent people out in pairs. They said to them, you have to go out for a whole week. You have no place to stay. You have no meals. You're not allowed to take any money with you. Wherever you go, you have to proclaim the gospel to whoever you talk to. That's your job for the whole week. I've talked to people who went through that training, to quite a number of them. No extra anything. No extra clothes. No, you have the clothes on your back and the words out of your mouth. That's all you've got. For a whole week. If someone invited them into their home, they were to go. If someone offered them food, they were to take it and be grateful for it. And I've spoken to the people who went through that training, here's what they said. I had to trust God. I learned to trust God. And they said that's where they learned how to trust God, was going through that week of just going out, proclaiming the gospel to people, and they had nothing. Okay, Jesus is doing that with his disciples. He's teaching these guys a whole lot more than proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's part of what's going on. But he's also teaching them to trust God. They have to lean on God here. And in ministry, we have to lean on God. We don't have anything else. If we can't trust God, we don't belong in ministry. I mean, he wants us there, but that's part of what it is. It's God who provides our needs. And we have to trust him for that. It's God who brings the results. And we have to trust him for that. It's God's the one who's going to do whatever gets done that's lasting for the kingdom. I mean, we can do all kinds of things, but they don't last for the kingdom. But it's only God who's going to do stuff that will last for the kingdom. And if you want stuff that's going to last for the kingdom, you have to go to God and you have to trust him. And if you don't do that, don't expect stuff that will last for the kingdom. Okay, so then review. Here's the principles we've talked about so far. Know your authority and use it. Focus on who God's calling you to focus on. Know the main task and do it. And the main task is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and to bring healing and restoration to people. That's the main task. Beware of money and stuff. It's a distraction from the main task. And trust God in the whole process. Those are the principles so far. Next week, we'll continue. We'll give some more principles from this section concerning just principles for ministry is what really we're going to be looking at. And so what I want to do is just close by having us, we're just going to pair off and pray, have a time to pray with somebody. Get in a group of two or three, no more than three, and just get together, pray. You can pray for these principles we talked about today, you know, that we will let go of money and stuff, and that we will trust God in the business of ministry. Because it is a struggle. Both of those things can be hard. Okay, so go ahead, pair off, we can pray. Would you, I was going to ask if you guys wanted to.